if your perfect vacation involves taking in some culture, I'm thinking museums, exhibitions, and flea markets, or partying it up, may it be a warehouse party or an outdoor rave, well, what city would be better for that than Berlin? Berlin in summer is amazing. So amazing, in fact, that you might never leave again. And that's exactly what happened to Adam Fletcher. He's a 30-year-old Englishman who has been living in Berlin with his German girlfriend for the past 4 years. He's been collecting some remarkable insights into what makes Germans German, from their love for Apfelschorle to collecting insurances and obeying the red traffic light man. Adam initially wrote it all down in a blog post, which became a surprise hit with more than 2 million clicks. The blog then turned into a book titled How to Be German in 50 Easy Steps. I sat down with Adam in Berlin to talk to him about Germanness, his favorite German quirks, and how to survive in Germany as a foreigner. And I started off by asking him how he came up with the idea of writing a list about how to be German in the first place.
I know living here, people always sent me these lists that were created by other expats. They're always called different things, I don't know. What it's like to live in Germany, how to be an expat in Germany, help me, the Germans are coming, whatever. You often find these kind of like list-style posts on the web, and I never found one that quite did it for me, and so I always thought, well, I'm going to write one that speaks to my experience in Germany then.
So you as an expat trying to assimilate in Germany, what's the hardest part?
Well, the language, for sure. You struggle with that for years. And like, what I usually say is that you need to find a PEC, a primary expat carer. This is your German boyfriend or girlfriend. Like, if you want to move to Germany and you want to stay in Germany, the greatest thing you can do to increase the odds that you won't leave out of frustration is to find yourself a German boyfriend or a girlfriend. Yeah, and then suddenly all of the problems, like, it's like a magic fairy that you have to throw at any problems that come, like any official letters that you receive from the government. It's like you give them to your primary expat carer, your boyfriend, your German boyfriend or girlfriend, and they go away.
So going back to your book, you describe 50 easy steps of becoming German. So which of the 50 steps did you get the biggest response from?
Apfelsaftschorle. The amount of Germans who wrote me after reading the book and they said, I can't order Apfelsaftschorle anymore. You've ruined Apfelsaftschorle for me.
Can you tell me a little bit about it so that our listeners will understand?
Sure. So Apfelsaftschorle is the kind of unofficial drink of Germany. It's literally just apple juice with fizzy water. I'm not even sure if people want to drink it. They just panic. It's a panic purchase. The same thing always happens. It's like the waiter comes over. You can't decide. You haven't looked at all of the pages, but you feel guilty that he's standing there because he's not standing there like with a smile, because German customer service doesn't dictate that he has to, like, or she has to
be happy.
So they're just standing sternly there, like kind of menacingly, waiting for you to order something, and then you just panic and order Apfelsaftschorle.
I really, like, when I read your book, I never even thought about it before. Yeah. And I'm like, oh my god, I do that every time, and now every time I'm in a restaurant, and yeah. I'm like, subconsciously just like, oh yeah, I'll have an Apfelsaftschorle. I'm like, oh my god, I'm doing this,
yeah.
I'm doing
and
it.
And this is what all the Germans wrote me afterwards, that yeah. I've ruined it for them now, because yeah. they want to order Apfelsaftschorle, but they can't because they feel like they're behaving too stereotypically, like it's a lack of imagination now to order Apfelsaftschorle.
Yeah.
And I heard from other Germans, they just never knew that this is a German drink. And so when they go abroad, naturally they try to order Apfelsaftschorle, and they're baffled that no one knows what it is.
So which of the 50 steps is your personal favorite?
Well, similar to the Apfelsaftschorle story, the one that gets the most reaction, like the one the Germans are the most surprised about, and so this always entertains me because it's like, yeah, I got you. Yeah, you didn't see it coming, and yet I got you. Yeah, and it's Fenster auf Kipp, which is this. In Germany, your windows have this kind of special tilt mode, which opens the window maybe like 10% to let a little bit of air in, but not too much. And I heard that Angela Merkel was asked what she thinks the Germans do better than anybody else. And her reply was windows. And I think that specifically she was referring to the kip mode, to the tilt mode of the windows. Many Germans have told me that when they're abroad, particularly if they're in the UK, they can't understand why the windows are so terrible, why they let so much draft in, like why they can't engineer windows like they do in Germany.
So what about insurances? That's also a big focus on your book.
Like my girlfriend has a insurance consultant. I don't know if you have. Do you have something similar, like a kind of
my mom has
makler,
it. I don't have it.
Like a positional makler.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's coming here all the time. This is the joke in our friend circle, is that Annette is having an affair with the Versicherungsmakler because he's at our house so often. They can't believe that she still needs more insurances.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know most Germans would be terrified to live with as few insurances as I have. I think we have one. My girlfriend got us one where it's like if you damage something of someone else's. Yeah.
Haftpflicht.
Yeah, I didn't want to pay for it. So she in the end, she just decided she would pay for it for the both of us because she would feel better knowing that I had it, even though I didn't want it and I didn't want to pay for it. And she's probably done the same thing with four or five other insurances that I don't know about. She's just insured me
for something happens. She's like, don't worry, honey.
I got it. Yeah. That's why you need your primary expat carer.
So what would be a useful thing that you learned here in Germany?
A useful thing, I think, to consider life as small interconnected systems. Because in the UK, no one ever really taught me like the beauty of practicality. I just kind of like bumbled around, apologizing for myself, and generally, you know, being a bit of a clueless idiot. And then when I lived here, I felt like the Germans kind of like saw in me a kind of mini project that they could take this sort of fairly helpless, idiotic little man and like make a real man out of him. So it's like then like the first time we go to the park, my German friend calls me over and he teaches me, you know, how to do grilling, like how to work the barbecue like properly, you know. And then, or like, my girlfriend does this all the time, like she'll see how I fold a towel and she's like, no, that's not how we fold towels. Yeah, and you know, and then she takes me away and she explains to me correctly how you fold a towel. Like in the beginning I would fight that stuff because I would think it's kind of overly complex or it's creating too many rules for yourself. But now I see actually how much time we save by creating these small systems. And I used to wake up whenever I wanted because I don't really have like a real job. I'm just a writer, so you can do it whenever you want. Yeah, it's very flexible. So I would just wake up whenever I wanted. I would eat whatever was around, or more often than not, there would be nothing around. So I would then have to go out and get food and bring it back. And I realized that by the time I would actually come and sit down to work, I'd already made a lot of decisions. I was mentally already fairly tired. So what I've done now, like with the German spirit in mind, is I've optimized my entire morning routine. So I always eat the same thing now every morning. I always get up at the same time. The alarm's always set for 8:30. It's regardless of what time I go to bed. I always get up at 8:30. I always eat the same thing. While
you're more German than I am.
While the toast is cooking, gets better.
Wow.
While the toast is in the toaster, I shower because the toasting process is the bottleneck of the morning. We have a slow toaster. So you have like a 2-minute window there where there's basically you can't eat because you're just waiting on toast. It's inefficient.
And you don't want to waste time.
It's dead time. So what I've done is then to move the shower, which usually happens at the end, into that 2-minute window. And then when I come out, I can put the toast back on for 10 seconds. It's warm when it comes out. It's extremely efficient. So by the time I sit down to work, I haven't made any decisions because the entire morning is routine.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think that this is what Germany has taught me, that there is beauty to practicality.
How do Germans open their beer bottles?
How do Germans not open their beer bottles would be an easier question to answer. There is no limits. Like people say the Germans are not creative. They should watch Germans opening beer bottles. It's like they've condensed all their creativity down into this one act of opening the beer bottle. And they can do it with anything. I've even seen at parties people do it with their teeth. I saw one person do it with their eye socket.
I've seen that too. It freaks me out, to be honest.
The only thing I've never seen a German open a beer bottle with is a bottle opener. So the lighter is obviously the classic. You can be sitting there and someone will ask you for a lighter and you would think they're going to light a cigarette, but they just pop a beer bottle with it instead. Yeah. But I've seen them do it with like keys, mobile phones, the corner of anything, corner of tables, corner of curbs, corner of railings. They're magicians. When it comes to opening beer bottles, Germans are really magicians.
Yeah. And you were just talking about lighting a cigarette. What's the one thing that Germans will never do with their cigarette?
The stereotype is that Germans will never light cigarettes from candles because this harks back to the good old days in which sailors during their downtime would sell matches on the pier, so I heard. And Germans would therefore always light their cigarettes only from matches because they wanted to create employment for the sailors. So yeah. I think these days there's not so many sailors selling matches, so it's probably fairly safe now to light your cigarette from a candle, but many Germans still won't do this. I think young Germans, based on my experience in the school, they all tell me no problem, they light the cigarette from a candle, but
it's safe, we tried, you can do it.
You can do it, but in the Kneipe, it can happen that if you light your cigarette from a candle, someone nearby will go kind of
what did you just do?
Ooh, someone's just killed a sailor over there.
You described something in your last step 50, that I also found very hilarious, but true. Maybe you can give me your best chiss and then explain why it is like that.
It's another thing like the beer bottles. Like Germany is a creative country, but it's condensed in certain areas. And one of the other areas is in the expression of the word choose, which is not said, you know, choose. It's said with drama and theatricism. And so it's more like a long, drawn-out, like, choose. And I always wondered how long the word choose was. Like, before, the first time I saw it written, I thought there were many, many T's included in that word and many S's because it felt like such a long word.
It stretches.
It stretches and stretches, yeah. But it's actually quite a short word.
So, one more time, give me your best choice.
Choose. news.
Thanks to Adam Fletcher for this hilarious interview.